No, I had a dog. That's all I had on 10 years of work, so don't go down there and try to farm. But I don't want to forget my boyhood days. Anybody that goes down there will find good fishing in that lake. It's a big lake. Good fishing. Disney World's down there between Kissimmee and Orlando. Sea World's there. And a little further on, Cypress Gardens. There's always something to do now. With an automobile, you can go to all of it. And I was about 15 or 16 years old before I ever got out of my county, out of our county. But yes, I had to walk. But I'm proud of it now. And it's been a pleasure to be able to stand up here before you people and talk to you. I know you all believe me, because I wouldn't lie. No. So, maybe next year I'll be able to come back here and talk to you people again. And so, remember, if you get a chance, go down the state, look it over. I think you'll like it.
Do you have any more you want to tell? Can you think of anything else?
Well, I wouldn't want to tell on myself too much, but farming wasn't my dish. And in those days, Kissimmee was known as Cowtown. They had an open range there, and the Partons and the Whalers owned most all the pasture land and prairie around there. And the cows was on the range, just like they used to be. But I didn't like either one of it. So I like machinery. So I come up and went to work with the railroad, and I've been in Jacksonville ever since. I come up at this little place every year, and we put on a little fiddling up here at the amphitheater. I'm going back down there now and see if I can't run the rest of the people off down there. So come down and listen.
Thank you. Now about this time, we have our story swapping. Cousin Thelma story swapping. For those of you who did not know Cousin Thelma, Cousin Thelma was our director of the Folk Festival for many, many years, for over 35 years. She's no longer with us. She died last year. She was a wonderful lady, and you'd always see her sitting up on the stage in her old-timey dresses with her white hair. She was just a delightful lady. But this is open to some of you who... Do any of you have a story that you'd like to share with us? We have any storytellers out here? Anybody? Well, I'll tell you a teeny tiny one, and maybe you can come up with something. Maybe some of you can remember a story that you know about. My daddy was a hunter. He liked to hunt. Daddy always liked to take his old gun and walk through the woods and find him a deer or two. He had a dog. His old dog was the fastest dog in the whole county. I mean, he was fast. He was so fast. When he would run through the woods, you could see the steam just coming up out of the ground. He was so fast. And Daddy really couldn't keep up with him. The only way he could keep up with him would hear him barking. One day he picked up the old dog. He said, "Dog, let's go hunting." And all Daddy had to say was the word hunt. That old dog, his name was Dog. That's all he called him, was Dog. And he was black and white. One side was totally black. The other side was totally white. He went lickety-lickety through the woods just as fast as he could go after that old deer. And Daddy just couldn't keep up with him. But all of a sudden, Daddy heard this loud pow. And he saw the biggest pine tree fall down. And Daddy didn't know what had happened. But he went running while the tree fell, and that tree was split right down the middle. His poor old dog was split down the middle, too. One side was split right in the middle. Well, Daddy got so upset. He loved that old dog. He was his favorite old dog. What he did, the most amazing thing. He reached in that pine tree. You know, pine tree has a lot of sap in it. And that sap's real sticky. And by the way, if you ever get pine sap on you, best way to get rid of it is to put alcohol. Rubbing alcohol is real good to get rid of pine sap. Well, Daddy got a big old wad of this pine sap, slapped it on that old dog, and sapped him back together again. And he didn't think it would work, but it did. That old dog just took right off again after that old deer. And he was, and Daddy saw him, and he was a-running. That old dog, he'd see that white side just a-running, and all of a sudden it would switch over, and the black side would be running. Daddy didn't understand it. Finally, he got the old deer stopped. Daddy got the deer. Daddy ran up to the old dog, and to his amazement, it was the most amazing thing in the world. When Daddy got that old dog, the black side was headed this way, the right side was headed that way. He'd put his poor old dog upside down. He was an upside down dog after that. And anytime he'd get tired of running, he'd run on this side, the white side would be running real fast, and then he'd get tired on that side, he'd just switch over, and the black side would take over just to run it. And that was Daddy's favorite old dog. Thank you. Now, did any of our storytellers come in? Did anybody come in who had a story to tell? You have one? All right. Now, tell us who you are and where you're from.
My name is Bill Roy from Fort Myers. Most of you know Goldilocks and the Three Bears, right? So I'd like to tell it a familiar story to you, but maybe in a new way. You heard Shelley, some of you heard Shelley a little earlier was having trouble with her voice, so a storyteller's already always got to be ready for laryngitis.
Terrible.
You know, so
terrible.
It's terrible.
time in our over here at the Folk Festival, and thank you so much. I have never heard a whistle story before. That was great. I'm afraid that wouldn't do me any good. I don't think it would do Shelly any good either. But Shelly and I are both having throat trouble, and it's bad. Believe me, when storytellers can't talk. There's another storyteller over here I met yesterday. Do you have another short story?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us again who you are so we'll be aware.
My name is Amy Kappa. Now, I'm not from Florida, but I have to tell you, I'm enjoying the folk tales I've been hearing about Florida. They're wonderful. But I'd like to ask that gentleman about, how did you get into whistling? Is this something you've done on your own, or is this a technique that's taught somewhere?
Well, best I can find, that's the only story that works. It has to be one that everybody knows very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't find another story that works.
Oh, it was wonderful.
And you have to be able to whistle.
You were great. I really enjoyed that. This story's a little different. I don't know any Florida folk tales, but I'll tell you this one. It's called Answering the Three Questions. Who are the right people? When is the right time? What is the correct action? There was once a king, and he said, if I knew the answers to these three questions, I could better serve myself and my kingdom. So he called all of his ministers and counselors together, and he said to them, if any one of you can give me the answers to my three questions, I will give you half my royal kingdom. Well, they were very interested. They got very excited. They put their heads together, and they came up with a lot of different answers. But they could not agree on one. Now the king was more confused than ever, and he said, is there not one among you who can give me the answers to my three questions? Well, the ministers and counselors hung their heads. The hall became very quiet. And one by one, they marched out of the hall. And the king was left alone with the jester and his misery. And he said to the fool, I don't suppose you could give me the answers to my three questions? You're right, said the fool. I can't, and I don't care to. But I know, I've been told that there is a hermit who lives at the edge of your royal forest. Now, I'm told that he is as strange as he is wise. Now, he doesn't like kings and knights and noblemen, but if you were to change into the clothing of a common traveler, I'll bet he could give you the answers you seek. Well, the king was so determined to find the answers to his three questions that he decided to do as the fool had suggested. So he called all of his royal guards together, and they went to the edge of the royal forest. When they got there, the king changed into the clothing of a common traveler, and he said to his guards, "You wait here, I'll be back." Well, the guards protested. After all, it was their job to protect the king. But the king insisted, and he rode off alone into the forest. And he rode all that day, and he couldn't find the hermit. He decided to turn back. It was beginning to get dark, and he didn't want to get lost. But just as he was about to turn back, he noticed a glimmer of light shining through the giant oak trees. So he decided to follow that light into the clearing. When he got there, he found a little fire burning alongside a small hut. And there, alongside the hut and alongside the fire, was a scraggly old man digging in a potato patch with a crude stick. Hello, friend, called the disguised king. Can you offer a weary traveler a cool drink? The old man pointed to a creek, while the king dismounted his horse, and he looked at the old man, and he said, I wonder, could you give me the answers to my three questions? Well, the old man didn't answer, but he continued to dig his potatoes. And the king said, I've been told that you are a very wise man. I wonder if you would please take a moment and answer my three questions. The old man took a potato and tossed it into his basket, and he looked at the disguised king and he said, please let me work. I'm an old man. If I don't get my crop in before winter, I shall starve. Yes, yes, of course I will. I will let you work, but please, won't you take one moment to answer my three questions? Well, the hermit didn't answer. He just continued to dig his potatoes. Now, the king thought perhaps this man had not heard him. So he repeated his questions. Who are the right people? When is the right time? What is the correct action? Still, the man didn't answer. The king was so annoyed at this man, and he said, this is no wise man. This is an imbecile. He's bent on digging his dirty little potatoes. I shall have the head of that fool when I return to the castle, not to mention the head of this arrogant old man. But now, he was really too tired to remember what brought him here in the first place. Besides, he noticed that the old man was very tired, so he said, give me your stick. I'll dig your potatoes. Well, the hermit was happy to relinquish his stick, and the hermit went inside the hut. And the king remained outdoors, and he dug potatoes all the rest of that day. When he finished, he looked up, and it had become quite dark. It was too dark now to return to his home. Just then, the hermit came to the door of the hut, and he called, come, stranger, resume your journey in the morning when it is safe. Well, the king had resigned himself to spending a night in this squalid little hut. When he went inside, he found the hermit had made a big pot of the most delicious potato soup he had ever eaten. He ate three bowlfuls, and he sat back in his chair and rubbed his stomach. Fit for a king, he said. Just then, he heard this loud wail and a thump. A man had fallen through the door of the hut, and he was wounded. The king quickly ran to his side, and he called the hermit, come quick. This man has been badly wounded. We must help him. So together, they removed the man's clothing, and the hermit brought his herbs and his poultices, and he treated the man's wounds. Now the king stayed up with this stranger all night long because he was unconscious, and the king wanted to be sure that he was all right. When morning came, the stranger had regained conscience, and he looked at the disguised king, and he said, you have saved my life. It's no more than you would have done for me, said the king. Oh, but you're wrong. I would have killed you. But why? What have I done to you? What have you done to me? What have you done to me? I know who you are, sir. You are the one who stole these forest lands from my family. You are the one who put my father in the dungeon. You are the one who brought ruin to my children and to me. But now, you see, I was waiting. When I saw you ride off alone this morning, I was hiding. I have been your worst enemy. I have been waiting for my chance for revenge. And when I saw you ride off alone this morning, now I realized my time for revenge had come. But now you have saved my life. I no longer wish to take revenge upon you. From this day forward, I am your most trusted, your most loyal friend. The king couldn't believe what he was hearing. I'd not known that I had caused such pain. In return for your honesty and your allegiance, as soon as I return to the castle, I shall set your father free. I shall return all these forest lands to your family. And I will send my royal guards to carry you back to your home, where your wounds can be taken care of. Now, it was time for the king to leave. The hermit brought his horse, which he had fed and brushed. But before the king mounted, he looked at the hermit and he said, "Now that you know who I am, do you still refuse to answer my three questions?" The hermit said, "You have answered them yourself." The king looked at him. He was puzzled. I don't understand," said the king. "If you had not stopped to help a tired old man dig his garden, you would have returned to an ambush. If you had not helped a wounded stranger, you would never have transformed a most deadly enemy into a lifelong loyal friend. Who are the right people? The right people are those who are with you now, for you can affect no other. When is the right time? The right time is now, for there is no other time. What is the correct action? The correct action is to do good to the right people at the best time. Thank you."
She's a newcomer to our festival up there, and we're so happy to have you. Even folks from up north are invited to come to us. Do we have another story to tell? Okay, would you like to tell us a story? This is the story swap. This is Cousin Thelma's story swap. And this is a good time for, if you're not on the program, to have you give you a chance to tell us a story. Would you tell us who you are and where
you're from? Virginia Rivers, and I'm from Tampa, Florida. And many of you who are from the state know that Tampa is a hotbed of Spanish people. And I was born in that section of Tampa called Ybor City. And I love to tell Spanish stories. And usually when I tell them with a little bit of English and a little bit of Spanish. On the street where I live, that's the way all the kids spoke, because inside the house where your grandparents lived with you, you weren't allowed to speak English because they couldn't understand. But outside where all the kids went to school, we spoke English when it was the first thing that came to our mind. Well, we spoke Spanish. It happened to be the thing that came to our mind. And of course, living in a big old house with both your grandparents meant I had lots of storytellers. But the storytellers that told stories they told me were not the Three Bears. They were Spanish stories. And so I'd like to share a Spanish story for you called Medio Pollito, or Little Hat Chick. Once upon a time, there was a mother hen who, when she hatched her eggs, got three beautiful little baby chicks, just like you would expect. But she had gotten up and went, "Ay, ay, ay, ay!"
one more egg. But it has not hatched, and it is the biggest one of all. And so she sat on the egg, and suddenly that egg began to hatch. Out of that egg jumped the biggest chick she had ever seen. Oh my goodness, look at that. What a beautiful little wing. Oh, and look at that lovely little eyes. And look at that beautiful little foot. Pobrecito, he will never be able to go out into the world and earn his precious living. Pobrecito. Well, the end result of this is that Mother Hen favored Medio Pollito. And Medio Pollito grew up to be quite filled with his own importance. He knew that being only a half chick got him a whole lot more attention than being all put together. And so he used it to his advantage all the time. The little chicks would often run to their mother going, Mamacita, Mamacita, Medio Pollito, he hit us. He won't give us a turn when we want to play. And she would say, Ay caramba. Listen, this is only a little half chick. You must be good to your brother. Well, the time came when little half chick was pretty well grown. And one day he announced to his mother, Mama, I am going out into the world to find my living. I am going to Madrid to see the king. Ay, Medio Pollito, do not do that, my baby. Oh, you know that you cannot make it that way. Ha! I am Medio Pollito, and I am very special, and there are no other chickens like me. Ha! The king of Madrid will probably want me to live in his castle. Ay, Medio Pollito, do not go. I love you so. Ha! I must go on my way. I am too important for this farmyard. And off went Medio Pollito. And as he went down the road, he sang a song. And I'll sing one line, you sing it after, okay? My name is Medio Pollito. My name is Medio Pollito. It means little half chick.
It means little half chick.
I'm off to see the king's castle.
I'm off to see the king's castle.
With a hip and a hop and a kick.
With a hip and a hop and a kick.
And a loud, away!
Away!
I'm singing all the way through as he walks on the way to Madrid. He sings, My name is Rico. It means little cat chick. I'm off to see the castle. With a hip and a hop and a kick.
Away!
All right. Well, he'd gone all the little ways when he saw a tree. He was walking through el bosque, the woods, and he heard a moaning in the trees. Medio Pollito, Medio Pollito, help me. Help me, Medio Pollito.
Who is calling my name? I am Medio Pollito.
I am on my way to Madrid to see the king, who will probably want me to live in the castle. I cannot stop. Help me, Medio Pollito.
Who is talking to me?
It is I, the wind. I am caught in the branches of the tree. Set me free, Medio Pollito. Set me free, or I will die.
Ha! Free yourself, wind. I don't have any time for you. I am on my way to see the king.
And off he went, hopping on his one little leg, singing, My name is Medio Pollito.
It means little hot chick.
I'm off to see the king's castle. With a hip and a hop and a kick.
All right.
He'd gone only a little bit further when he came to a stream. And as he was crossing the little bridge that went over the stream, singing his song, hopping on his one little leg, he heard,
What they think this is? Everybody calling and calling when I am so important. Who is it now?
Medio Pollito, it has been a stream.
The stream? Yes, mother, you put it blah, 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 blah. I am choking sticks and weeds. Blah, 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 blah. Come and free me. Clean my waters. Blah, 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 blah. So I can go back to my mother, the sea. Blah, 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 blah. That's not my problem. You go take care of yourself. I am too important to do any cleaning. I am medio bonito, and I am on my way to Madrid to see the king. And he will probably want me to live in his castle because I am the only half-chick in all of Madrid. And off with half-chick, hopping on his one little legs, singing, my name is medio bonito. It means medio half-chick. I'm off to see the king's castle. We will take him and a hop and a kick. Olay! And down the road went little half-chick. And a little bit later, he came to a clearing. And there was a campfire in that clearing because he could still hear the squeak of the gypsy wagons that had left this clearing where they had been camping. And as little half-chick was hopping through that clearing from the direction of the dying campfire, he heard it.
Medio bonito. Medio bonito. Oy, what a day. Ay, caramba. ¿Quién es?
Who is it?
Medio bonito. It is I, the fire. I am dying. Fan my flames and put some sticks in my fire, or surely I will die. Ha! Me? Take care of you? You take care of yourself. I'm medio pollito. I'm much too important for that. I'm on my way to Madrid to see the king, and he will probably want me to live in his castle. So take care of yourself, fire.
Medio pollito, please help me.
But medio pollito just kept hopping along, singing.
My name is medio pollito. It means medio pollito. I'm off to see the king's castle. And I'm off and I'm free.
Medio Pollito could see the king's castle, and he knew that before dark he would be there. Now, in the king's castle, the king's cook was having a great problem. He looked in his cupboard and said,
Ay, caramba! Mira para esto! No tengo gallina!
Look at this, he said. I don't have any chicken.
And the king wants chicken and yellow rice. How can I make chicken and yellow rice if I have no chicken? He will have to be happy with an omelet.
Just then, he heard a little voice, and he saw coming down the road,
the strangest thing I have ever seen. Es nada más un medio de un pollo, only a half chicken. But a half chicken is better than no chicken at all.
Well, right up to the door of the castle came Medio Pollito, singing,
My name is Medio Pollito, it means Medio Pollito. I'm off to see the king's castle, with a chicken and a hop and a kick.
Okay!
Well, he got up to the door, and he said, Open the door, it is me,
Medio Pollito, the finest half chicken all of Spain. I am here to see the king, and he will probably want me to live in the castle.
I see, said the cook, and he grabbed him around the neck, and he held him there.
Oh, let me go. Oh, let me go. I am Medio Pollito.
You will see the king, yes. You will see him in his yellow rice and chicken.
And he took Medio Pollito, yelling and screaming, and he dropped it in the large boiling kettle of water. Thought he'd resort to asking the water for help. He said,
Water, water, not boil so warm. You are burning me. Oh, please stop boiling.
When I was choked with weeds, sister, you would not clean away.
Now I will not help you.
I will boil more fiercely than ever.
So he called out. He called out to the fire. Fire, fire, fuego, fuego. Ay, por favor, please, do not burn so brightly.
uncle, when I was dying, you would not be my flames. Now I will burn more brightly than ever. And the pot bubbled, and the flames leapt around the sides of the great kettle, and Medio Pollito inside. Oh, he had never been so hot. And suddenly the cook came running into the kitchen.
Ay, caramba, que es esto? Que peste! What a terrible stink! That Medio Pollito. Oh, he is a burnt pollito. I cannot serve the king a burnt chicken. I will have to make an omelette after all.
And he picked up Medio Pollito and threw him out the window of the castle. And as Medio Pollito went flying through the air, the wind picked him up. And it carried him high over the rooftops of Spain. I win. Ay, viento, please put me down. When I was caught in the branches of the trees, you would not help me. Now I will blow you higher and higher. And that's exactly what happened. The wind blew Medio Pollito in swirls and twirls, higher and higher and higher, until he landed on the tallest church steeple in Madrid. And there on the top of that cathedral, you will see Medio Pollito. There's only half of him standing on his one leg. And he who would help no one in life now tells everyone which way the wind is blowing. And as he stands on his one little leg, he sings, my name is Medio Pollito. I once could hop and kick, but now I stand on the steeple, a weathercock on a stick. Oh,
we've had Jamaican.